District 32, Business Radio. Insights and inspiration. District 32, by today's business leaders.
Hello, it's Alan Cox from District 32 Business Radio. Today I'm here with Robin Crombie from Amada Accountants and Advisors. Robin, what caused you to get into business?
That's a really good question. I think as a person, I loved being able to help people, and being able to help people running their business is such a great thing. I find that as family business owners, quite often they feel quite isolated. They're running their own business, they're so busy running it, but they don't have outside advisors to be able to help them. And so sometimes they just need people with them on this journey to be able to help them, and having tips and strategies how they can grow their business and create wealth for themselves, essentially. And so I just really loved the people that I was working with mainly families, as I said, running their businesses, and it's just grown from there quite organically. I've been in the game for about 30 years now. So I started in public practice, and I actually wrote to a whole range of accounting firms, and I started in a medium-sized practice, and it's just grown from there, straight out of uni, essentially. They started me off working with clients pretty much almost immediately, just small businesses and individuals, and it's just grown from there. So now I love seeing the whole range of clients, individuals, mainly family businesses I'm working with, and those family businesses can be small right through into really big businesses, essentially.
Robin's got a business tip for us around using benchmark and KPI analysis to grow your business.
Businesses can use industry benchmarks to identify future profit and value improvement opportunities. So they can do this to see where their business is at the moment using industry benchmarks, and then they can find out where their strengths and their weaknesses are when they're against those industry benchmarks. They can be evaluating and assessing, making plans as to how they can improve their particular benchmarking and their KPIs, and planning for the future. So this is a snapshot about where they are at the moment, where their drivers are, where their key performance indicators are, and how they can improve those. So it helps them make improved and informed business decisions, and they can track their progress with those business decisions as well. So what's working for them? Is it making those KPIs improving, or is it maybe not working so much? What time frame are they looking at to track all these benchmarks and KPIs to see if these decisions are working or not? And particularly focus on the big ones. So how can they increase their revenue? Looking at their gross profit margin KPIs, reducing certain overheads perhaps. Are their decisions regarding creating efficiencies, are they working? Are their KPIs tracking in the way that they were hoping that they would by making these decisions?
KPIs, just in case people don't know, is key performance indicator. Can you give us an example of, say, a KPI?
Yeah, absolutely. So working with one of my clients, and they're looking at their gross profit margins. So that's a really obvious one that most businesses will have in some shape or form. So if it's a retail business, looking at their gross profit margin, so that's the sales less their purchases. And depending on what type of retail industry they may be in, there'll be different benchmark performances. So for instance, it might be, say, a 50% industry benchmark. And if theirs is only at 46%, then they've really got to work at, okay, how can they increase their gross profit margin to be more than 50% and preferably even higher than that? So what sort of things do they need to look at? Do they need to look at their suppliers? Do they need to look at increasing their revenue? How can they go about negotiating with their suppliers to potentially bring down their costs there? Can they work with the freight costs perhaps? So items like that, so that they can really look at their current KPIs and benchmarking, compare it to the industry's, right, where are our strengths? Where are our weaknesses? How can we improve these?
How do you compare an industry?
The ATO, for a start, has really good industry benchmarks. They tend to be quite broad. There's other software out there that also provides it. That obviously comes with a price tag. So one's benchmark.com, and that has industry benchmarks. There's other softwares out there that also provide industry benchmarks. You've got to look at the depth of what they've got within their benchmarking and just make sure that if they're only comparing, say, three other businesses in your field, but there's potentially 100 businesses doing what you do, then is that three going to be an even representation of what those benchmarks should be? So you've got to look at the depth behind the numbers as well and just make sure it's meaningful and that it can relate to your business.
So if I had a coffee shop, what would a benchmark be for that?
Yeah, so you can easily get information from the ATO benchmarks. They make it quite easy. You can go onto their website and you've got to compare. So is your coffee shop in the CBD? Is it in the metropolitan suburbs? Is it in a regional position? Is it quite isolated? Is it attached to a shopping centre? Is it on a strip?
Apples for apples.
Yeah. So you really got to compare it in those sort of ways. And then you can also drill down into benchmarks. So you're comparing with other cafes, for instance, that have a turnover between 1 to 1.5 million, or how many owners are there? So you can compare to benchmarks where there's more owners. Are you comparing to other cafes that are franchised, for instance? So that may be different KPIs again.
Data management is a vital part of the business. So what can we do to improve that?
It's sometimes called the silent killer of small business because it really tightens up your cash flow and can affect the viability of a business. Australia has the longest debtor days outstanding in the world, according to one survey. And to give you an example of how this can affect a business, so let's assume a business with a turnover of $1.5 million a year. If it has an average debtor days of 56 days currently, if it brings down its debtor days to 40 days, then it will have an extra $66,000 in the bank account by the end of the year. It's not bad.
I think it's better than not bad. Yeah. I think it's damn good.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's really worth focusing on this, you can see. The benefits include improving the cash flow. That's probably the biggest one. It provides sufficient working capital for the business, and then they've also got cash flow to reinvest and to grow the business. It can also reduce the stress and anxiety around debt collection too, because nobody likes doing that, let's face it. It can reduce the bad debts in the business. And let's face it, at the end of the day, you stop being your customer's bank. You stop paying interest on your overdraft. It increases your profit. You stop your staff from spending too much time chasing debtors, and it means that you can all work more on growing your business.
I read a report the other day that there's a lot of people who use debt collectors, but they don't work. They don't actually recover the money.
Yes, and I think it's really important that you have certain efficient debtor systems in place before it even gets to the debt collection stage. So first of all, do you have a written debtors system? That's really important. Have you got a credit application form to start with? Do you have processes for checking the credit applications? Do you have approval processes of the credit applications where you're establishing the limit and the payment terms? Do you have onboarding for your new customers where you're including the terms of trade agreements, including retention of title agreements and all the things that the customers can expect? Do you follow up to make sure you receive the signed documents back from the new customer at the start? And that's a big one. So quite often they might have a business may have the forms to put out to the customer, but they forget to get the signed ones back from the customer acknowledging their terms of credit. Does it need to be registered on the personal properties and securities register? And what about your invoicing? So are you consistently invoicing on a timely basis? Does it show the payment date on your invoice? And your collection processes, are you communicating with the client before the debt's due? So 2 weeks before the debt's due, you may be sending them an email. 5 days before the debt's due, just as a friendly reminder. The day after, maybe 2 weeks after, you might follow up with a phone call. So regular communication with the client, I think, is key. And then you're also alerting them for upcoming payment dates and following up as well.
One of the issues that a lot of people have, And I know someone whose story.
Oh, yes, yeah, as we all do. Yeah.
They don't like asking for the signed form. They don't like asking for the money.
I think a lot of people feel the same way. It is really confrontational, isn't it, to be asking for money? But if you're providing a great service to them or a great product, you've usually told them the price up front, or they have some expectation around the cost of that. So it usually helps to look them in the eye and say, look, this is how much it is. Obviously, you've got this great product. It provides this, this and this benefit to you. And here's our cost. Our payment terms are this. And just be aware that within 14 days, that money needs to be transferred to us. If there's any problems, please let us know and we'll do what we can to work with you about that. You know, so bring it across, I think, in a friendly manner, but these are our terms, and so if there are any problems, we can work on that together.
Why getting your business valued is a good idea? Well, Robin, how come it's a good idea?
So these days, the demand for business valuations, it's growing because owners are seeking advice on how to protect, how to grow and how to maximise the value of their business. So they may get a business valuation for the obvious things if they're looking at selling the business, but there's other things as well. So if they're looking at refinancing their business, perhaps they're looking at getting a new borrowing. Potentially they're looking at expanding their business, so getting into other growth opportunities. They could be looking at a form of measuring their current improvement program. So if they're trying to create efficiencies within their business or they're trying to grow their revenue, they want to see where their business is at the moment. And if they've got growth strategies in place, then they can be measuring those strategies. So hand in hand, perhaps, with working on their KPIs and improving those, this is a way of being able to measure if their strategies and their KPI strategies and planning is working for them. Other things, obviously, for if they're in ownership disputes or relationship breakdowns, that's another reason. But most importantly, we see what's called a value gap risk, and that's where the actual value of the business is different to what the owners think that it is. So if they're thinking about selling maybe in a few years' time, then they're anticipating a particular value. But if they get the business valued now, they realise that the value is actually far short of what they were planning on selling it for. And if they're selling, they're looking at possibly retiring, they needed a certain level of income that they anticipated from the sale of the business, and perhaps it's not there. So if they get this done on a timely basis, they can be working on how to increase the value of that business, say in the next few years before it's sold. So putting in effective business strategies to bring up the value of that business, it's very important.
If a business is getting it valued regularly, then they're going to be putting into place the procedures and documents they need to be able to sell the business.
Absolutely. So there's a lot of strategies that they can use to prepare the business for sale and really increase the value of that business, which increases their profit from the sale and leaves them more money at the end of the day.
That's the idea.
Absolutely.
Robin, that's fantastic. Thank you very much for your time.
That's been a pleasure, Alan. I really enjoyed it.
You've been listening to District 32 Business Experts that educate and inspire. District 32 Business Radio Business Experts throughout the hour.
On District 32, the power of connection.